produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your humbled host, and I want to say thank you for joining in today. My prayer is that as you are listening, you will not hear me, but you will hear from the Lord, and you will just hear something that may inspire you, encourage you, motivate you, or challenge you just a little bit today, just to give you a little bit of a golden nugget, a little bit of a truth, a little bit of help along the journey, and just a little something today. So as we join together, I want to just tell you a little bit about what we have started looking at on the Mommy Meltdown. We recently finished our study, Distracted, and how we as moms live in a world of distractions and how to stay focused as a mom and to keep the things that are truly important at the front of our minds. And now we are starting a new study, and it's from my book, Sparkle and Shine. And in Sparkle and Shine, we're talking about how, as moms, it's so important to be the light for our children. And instead of trying to go and make a difference in the world, which is important, not downplaying that, but instead of focusing and putting all of our energy and trying to change the world, we are starting at our homes, and we're first investing in our families, and we're making a difference in the lives of the children that God has entrusted into us. So, last week we just talked about the importance of being a light and why it's so vital that we're a light in our homes. And today I want to talk about shining your own light. In other words, talking about being who you were created to be. Moms, if we want our children to be the special creation that God intended them to be, then it starts with us setting an example. It's us being confident in who we are as a Christian. It's us knowing our self-worth in the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. It's us knowing our value. And that does not come by being a mom. It doesn't come by being a wife. It doesn't come by being a successful, career-driven woman. It doesn't come by having a big house or a fancy car. Having value and self-worth does not even come by having a lot of money in the bank. Our value, our self-worth, who we are, our confidence only comes through one person, and that's through Jesus Christ. You see, it's Him alone that allows us to walk confidently, knowing that we are a child of the King. And when I say being confident, I'm not talking about being conceited, because being confident and being conceited are two different things. We can be confident and be humble. We can be confident and walk with our head held high, but yet be graceful and kind and considerate of other people's feelings. And that's how God wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to be just confident women who are humble and kind and lovely and graceful. And gracious. Been graceful too, but that's never been one of my strong points. But we can be gracious, even if we can't be graceful. I'm just a little bit on the clumsy side, so graceful was just never on my radar, unfortunately, even though I tried. But today we're just going to talk about being who you were created to be. And I want to start back with just a memory that I have and a lesson that I learned early in life. And I'm going to take us back to the year 1991. Now, this year, in particular, you think about the 90s. So it's all about big hair, big jewelry, big attitude, big fun. I mean, I think about, if I could just take you back into the 90s, I think about the roller skating rinks and the loud music and the bright lights. I think about the fun, bright colors and the clothing and the big hair, lots of hairspray, big earrings, bold, eccentric colors, slouch socks. Has not made its way back in as far as I know, but with scrunchies making a comeback, I would think that slouch socks are on their way. But it was just a fun time. And let me tell you, at that time in my life, I was 13 years old, and I just wanted to be right in the middle of it. I was all about babysitting to make a little bit of money, roller skating, slumber parties, hanging out with friends at the mall. Oh my goodness, that was just such a fun thing to do, just hang out at the mall. And of course, I was all about boys. And let's see. Oh, the New Kids on the Block was definitely the big it thing in 1991. And Saved by the Bell and Full House. I mean, like, that was just the epitome of 1991. That's 1991 wrapped up, you know, wrapped up for you right there. So, but anyway, I was 13, so I, you know, watched a lot of TV during that time, and I can remember being fascinated by one of the very popular actresses in my day, and she was just such a cute teenage girl who had beautiful hair and just such a sweet little personality. So, you know, before long, I tried to have hair like hers, because her hair was the trend. It was the it thing, the big bangs and the big wings on the side of the hair and perms. And so it didn't take long before I got a perm, and I tried to tease my hair just like hers, and I poofed out my sides, and I, goodness, probably used an entire can of Aquanet every single day, or at least every week. But, you know, I would just try to style my hair just like this actress, and she was such a little fashion setter, so I would try to dress like her. I would try to just try to be kind of like her, because she just had this perfect little family on TV, a great circle of friends. She had this personality that would just light up the room, and everyone just adored her. I just completely adored her. So I thought to myself, well, if I can be like her, then everyone will adore me too. So with my best efforts, man, I tried and I tried hard to be just like her. I literally would study and see how she acted, and I would try to make my decisions based on how she would be and how she would handle things. And it didn't take long for people to start telling me that I reminded them of her. They would talk to me or get to know me or see me and they're like, wow, you look just like that actress on TV. And of course, the more people would tell me that, the more I ate it up and the more I would try to be just like her. And it all was working well. I seemed to kind of have this new groove and confidence about myself because I looked like this girl on TV. And it was all cool until one day the cold facts of reality came crashing down on me very hard. So it was during that particular summer that I got to go to a youth conference in Texas. And that was not where I lived. It wasn't the church I grew up in. It was just me and another friend getting to go to this youth conference because my aunt lived in Texas. And so we were invited to her church and it was huge. I mean, there were thousands of kids at this youth conference. And I can remember being shy and a little bit on the insecure side. But, you know, with my best actress efforts, I tried to just put on the front of this confidence that I had and just tried to, as the saying is, fake it till I make it. So anyway, here we are at this youth conference, and they ended up renting out a local skating rink and a bowling alley, and they took the teenagers there, and they basically just kind of split them up between the skating rink and the bowling alley and their video games and concession stands. So people were either hanging out in the parking lot or skating, or they were bowling and just having a good time. But for some reason, at this particular moment, I can remember being alone. I wasn't hanging out with anyone. I wasn't talking to my friend. I wasn't skating or anything else. I was just alone. And I really don't know why. I can't remember why. But I remember feeling a little shy and a little overwhelmed in this huge crowd. But I kind of had just talked myself into go skating. So I was about to go skating when all of a sudden I noticed a group of guys were kind of like checking me out, looking at me. And my heart just started to race. I was like, are those guys looking at me? You know? You know how we do. And so I tried to play it cool because I noticed they were coming up to me and they were acting very shy and nervous. And so I just looked up and I said hi. And at first I thought it must be like a dare or a prank, like maybe they were dared to do something, but they just kind of kept coming my way and kept smiling. And they actually seemed like very fascinated by me, which was all very confusing to me. So finally, one of the boys kind of spoke up for the group, and he asked if he could take the group of guys could take their picture with me. I was like, what? Whoa, okay, I must be having a really good hair day because a group of really cute boys wanted their picture with me. So of course, a smile as big as Texas itself broke across my face, and I shook my head. I was like, yeah, you can have your picture with me. And I think in that moment, my head began to swell, just like huge. I started getting this big head thinking, wow, I must look really cute. I must have picked out the right outfit. This is so awesome. And so I can't remember. I know this sounds crazy, but I can't remember if we actually took the picture or not. But one of the guys did ask me if he could have my autograph. And he held out a pen and a napkin. And I was really confused at this point. I was, why would they want my autograph? So I was like, do what? The words just kind of stumbled out of my mouth in confusion. And one of the boys piped in and said, well, you are that girl from TV, aren't you? And I was like, no. And another guy was like, yeah, sure you are. I would recognize you anywhere. You're her. You're her. And they just kind of all stared at me, like waiting for me to confirm the fact that I was this actress standing in front of them. And I just kind of shook my head. I was like, no, I'm not an actress. And they just looked at me like I was lying. And then finally one of the guys says, oh, I get it. You don't want anyone to know that you're here. You just don't want people to be like bothering you and stuff. And he said, it's okay. We won't tell anybody. We'll keep it a secret, you know, but can we still have like your autograph? And it took me a minute to finally realize that they didn't want me. They weren't standing in front of me because they were interested in me. They were standing in front of me because they thought I was the actress that I had been trying to pretend to be for all these, you know, years, months or whatever. And the reality just hit me really hard. Hit me very hard that they didn't want me. And so I finally just convinced them that no, indeed, I was not this person. I was just a girl from Louisiana, and I was just here visiting. And so very, you know, kind of like disappointed, they walked off. Like, you know, you could see their disappointment written all over their faces. Their shoulders were slumped down, crumbled the napkin and shoved it, you know, deep in the pockets and walked away. And that was kind of that. And I was left standing there with the shame and embarrassment of trying to be someone else. I felt in that moment like I didn't measure up. As hard as I had tried, as hard as I had wanted to be this actress, I realized I could never be this actress. I could never measure up to her. I would only be the second best. I would never really be truly the best. And it was in that moment that God shared a big truth with me, that I wasn't created to be this beautiful, famous actress. I was created to be me, to be Dorothy Hill. At that time, I was Dorothy Hill, and he made me unique. He made me one of a kind, and he desired for me to embrace who I was. He wanted me to let my light shine for him. He didn't want me to pretend to be someone else. He wanted me to be me and to let my light shine and for me to be a light. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it until I was ready to be me. So during high school years, I feel like we all kind of go through that little bit of insecurity where we're not sure who we are and we're trying to be someone else. We're trying to fit in. We're trying to feel confident. And the pressures of the world just kind of hit us and realities hit us. And so it's just a lot to take in. But the great thing is that God's right there beside us, cheering us on, saying, you can do this. You can do this. I love you. I made you to be who you are. So shine. Shine bright and be the light. And a couple of little points that I learned along the way during that time was, number one, don't be something you're not. You're never going to be truly happy being something or being somebody you're not. Don't live your life trying to impress others or to fit the mold of that someone else has for you. Just be you. Be who God wants you to be. Live that life beautifully and contently. You see, God has a purpose for your life, and everything about you was designed for the purpose that God has for you. These are lessons that we're trying to teach our children. But until we completely embrace him, we can never pass them on to our children. So we, even as a mother, we still struggle with this. We do, and we need God's help every single day. But we've got to remember that we cannot be something we're not. Don't try. Number two, don't compare yourself to others. Listen, we all have heard comparison is the thief of joy, and we all know how true that is. You will not live a joyful, confident, content life if you are always comparing yourself to someone else. You're just not, because you're never going to measure up. There's always going to be someone who's prettier than you, someone who's more stylish than you, someone who is skinnier than you, someone who has better hair than you. There's always going to be someone who is something better than you. And that's okay, because it's not, we're not in a contest. God just wants you to be the best version of you, and God wants that person to be the best version of them. So don't compare yourself. As long as you're comparing yourself, you will never measure up, and you will never find your self-worth if you're constantly looking at others. So live your own life and keep your eyes on the Lord. Because only the Lord is the one who can bring you the confidence that He has for you. Okay? Now, the next thing is find your confidence. Number three, find your confidence. A confident lady is probably one of the most beautiful kind of ladies. Wouldn't you agree? True confidence comes through Jesus Christ, not your looks. Now, the unfortunate reality here is that you will never reach perfection in your outward appearance, and probably just about the time you feel like you have reached perfection, then you start hitting the age of grace where you start getting some wrinkles and sun damage starts, you know, like peeking its little neck out, and you start seeing the results of being out in the sun too long on your face, and you're never going to reach perfection. So what you can reach, though, is the peace and contentment that you're who you're supposed to be, and you're living out your life the way God created you to. You can be happy being you with those imperfections, with those wrinkles and those bulges and the cellulites and all. You can be happy, you can be joyful, you can be peaceful, because you are confident in who God has you to be. And you can learn to love yourself. Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? But isn't that something we try to teach our children all the time? Love yourself. Love yourself. When we haven't even truly mastered that. But moms, God wants us to love ourselves because He's the one who made us. He wants us to be happy with who we are. He wants us to be confident with who we are and content in who we are. God doesn't make any mistakes, and everything about you is by a perfect, perfect design. All those weaknesses that you are focused on and the flaws that you have, when God looks at you, He doesn't see that. He doesn't see those weaknesses. He doesn't see those downfalls. He doesn't see those flaws, those bumps, those bruises, the scars. You know what He sees? He sees the blood of the Lamb covering you. And He sees the spotless, pure, righteous, holy child. And that's who you are. And that, my friend, is the person that God created you to be. So be you. Everyone else is already taken. So learn who you are. How do you learn who you are? Okay, that's kind of a hard one for moms, because we are constantly sacrificing our desires and our wants and our wishes for the well-being of our own family. But I still think it's important for you to know yourself. I think it's very important for you to know your likes and your dislikes. So that means you're going to have to spend a little bit of time figuring this out. What are the things you enjoy in life? Yes, it's okay to have enjoyment. What do you enjoy when your kids are in bed? What is it that you enjoy to do? Do you enjoy organizing your house, cleaning your house? Do you enjoy reading books? Do you enjoy just watching a good movie? Maybe just drinking a hot cup of tea before you go to bed and just talking with your husband. Do you enjoy sewing or playing the piano, what are things you enjoy to do? You need to know your own likes and dislikes. Look, I truly believe you need to uncover your own style. There's nothing wrong with a mom being stylish and knowing what her style is. And there are so many styles out there. I'm one of those. I like anything that's pretty. So that ranges far wide between. So as far as my style goes, I couldn't really tell you what my one style is other than if it's pretty, I like it. But you need to know your style. Don't just wear clothes just because they're popular and, you know, they're the trend right now. No, know what your style is, know what you like, and you wear what you like. Know what your personality is. Are you a leader? Are you a follower? Are you creative? Are you thoughtful? Are you a giver? Or are you a taker? I'm a taker. I'm not going to lie. I love it when people give me gifts. But know your own personality. Get to know yourself. That's something that we tend to lose as moms. We tend to lose who we are. Get to know what your own convictions and standards are. Listen, I think this is truly, truly important. As a mom trying to invest in your children, the convictions you have, the standards you take, are they just because your church and your preacher tells you that this is what you should do as a Christian? Or are these the standards and convictions that God has given you that you have found in His words? So these are all very important things to know who you are. Okay, look, God did not create you to be a chameleon, one of those lizards, you know, who can just blend into the background and hide. No, ma'am. I know as a mom, sometimes that's what we feel, like we should just blend in and hide, but God created you to sparkle. God created you to stand out and to be the light of the world. God doesn't want you to be hidden. He wants you to be beautiful. So in order for you to have a light that shines, you can't hide, can't be timid, you can't be ashamed, and you can't be afraid to let your light shine. So ladies, be you. Be a confident you. Be a beautiful you, not because of your looks, but because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And remember, ladies, be the light. Be the light to your family. Shine for them, for your children. And being who you are will help your children to be confident in who God wants them to be as well. So thank you for joining me today on the Mommy Meltdown. Remember, we are going through the study, Sparkle and Shine. You can find it on Amazon by Dorothy Hill Gates. Have a blessed day, and I'll talk to you next time on the Mommy Meltdown. Blessings, my friend.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to this week's episode of the What Now God radio show. Hello, I am your host, Cheryl Woods. Thank you so much for tuning in. For those of you who do not know me, I am the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have an on-time topic for you on this week. And as you know, for What Now God radio show, we attempt to answer the question, what now God? What now God do we do in the face of everything that's going on within us, in the world, and in the lives of our loved ones? So as we attempt to answer the question today, what now God? I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. And we're going to focus on the topic. Today's topic will be God has not forgot about you. God has not forgot about you. So sit back, relax, make sure to share this broadcast out with a friend as we get into a word of encouragement for today's show. God has not forgot about you. So there are three things that I want you to remember to all of my lovely listeners. Three things to remember when you're thinking that God has just forgotten about you, when you think that you have not seen the answer to your prayers, or you're just going through some things, whatever the cause is, God has not forgot about you. So number one, the first thing that I want you to remember is that just because we don't see God working, it does not mean He's not, okay? We cannot lean on our own understanding. We can't try to figure God out. Remember, the word tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I don't know about you, but I would rather trust God, knowing that he's got it, knowing that He's got me, than to rack my brain, my mind, and my spirit trying to figure things out on my own, right? So what does that mean when we say lean not on your own understanding? That just means that there are some things that are just not going to make sense to us, all right? We're humans. We're human beings, right? And unfortunately, there are emotions that come into play. There are our own past experiences that mold our understanding of what's going on in our lives. That's what's going on in the world. You know, everything from the pandemic to health issues to issues on the job, relationship issues, whatever it is that you're dealing with that's forcing you to ask that question, what now, God? we're only looking at them from our human mind, from our natural mind, right? But there's a spiritual warfare taking place. God is spirit. And yes, God's spirit lives in us. But sometimes it's hard for us to tap into that supernatural. It's hard for us to say, you know what? Let me take my hands off of this problem. Let me take my focus off of this problem. And what do? We get caught up in depression. We get caught up in the woe is me, in the fear, in the doubt that God has forgotten about us, thinking that God has, he has just forgotten about us. What am I going to do now? Well, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust that God is working all things together for our good, right? We're going to believe that just because we don't understand what's going on, that God has not forgotten us. He still got us. So number one is to not lean on your own understanding. And remember, God is working it out for you. No matter what your situation looks like, no matter what bad things that you're going through that's troubling your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit, saints, God has not forgotten about you. So know without a doubt that he is working it out. So number two, I want you to remember that last time, praise God, that last time that God came through for you, okay? After all the tears, the hurt, the fear of you trying to do things your way, we've all been there, okay? Even to the point of sometimes turning our backs on God, when we're on the verge of just giving up, then bam, like out of nowhere, right? God shows up. And he shows out. Remember the last time that God came through for you. Remember the last time that he answered your prayer, right? That you prayed and prayed. You got on your knees and you asked God to help you out. You asked God to provide. You asked God to heal. You asked God to save you. Remember that last time. Remember that joy. That peace that surpasses all understanding, right? He is still the same God. He's the same God who helped you out before, who saved you so many times. He has the power to do it again, all right? Let's stop forgetting all of the things that we have to be thankful for. If you're suffering from remembering the last time that God showed up and showed out for you, I challenge you right now. I challenge you to get out a list and write down every single thing that you are thankful for, whether it's today, whether it's yesterday, and then even go into the future. Start manifesting, believing, seeing those things that you want God to change in your lives, those things that you want God to bless you with. Write them down. Start getting happy. Be joyful, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the last time that God came through for you, because if he did it then, he can do it again. What God has for you is for you. It may be delayed. It may not come as we want it to come, right? Because a lot of times God answers our prayers and it doesn't look like anything that we thought it would look like, right? We ask for a new job. And God gives us our own business. We ask for more money. And God gives us ideas on how to make the money. We ask for a new house. And God sends us someone who is going to clean up our credit so that we can get that new house, right? So there's so many ways that God will come through for us. We just have to remember that if he did it then, he's going to do it again, right? God has not forgot about you. He has not forgot. So that first thing to remember is, just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he's not, right? We can't lean on our own understanding. The second thing is to remember that last time that God came through for you. Write it down. Write down a list of your blessings, those things that you are thankful for, those people that God has placed in your life that have blessed your socks off, okay? The angels that he has encamped around us that have saved us from danger, that have healed us, that have kept us out of harm's way, right? remember the last time that God came through. I'm telling you, if I could just thank God for everything that he's done for me, I would be thanking him for the rest of my life. And let me tell you, I plan to be old and gray in my hundreds on a rocking chair, in a rocking chair on my porch with my husband, old and gray, watching our kids and grandkids at the family reunion. So if I would write down everything, it would take a lifetime for me to thank God for everything that he has done, everything that he is doing, and everything that I know without a doubt that he is going to do, that he has yet still to do in my life. I pray somebody catch this. Somebody get excited right now just because of the fact that God has not forgot about you. You've been praying. You've been asking God to send you a sign. You've been asking God to make a way out of no way. Some of you have not even had the strength to pray. Some of you, God has counted your tears. He has listened to your sighs. And he knows, without even you uttering a word, he knows what you need. He knows what you're going through, right? God has not forgot about you. I promise you, he has not forgot about you. So, number three, the third thing that I want you to do, and this is probably the most powerful thing that you can do, and that is to rejoice and praise him through it all, okay? Let me say that again. Rejoice and praise God through it all. No matter what things look like in the physical world, no matter what you're going through, no matter who let you down, no matter who counted you out, no matter who broke your heart, who lied on you, stole from you, cheated on you, okay, deceived you, no matter what they said about you that you know wasn't true, no matter how many jobs let you go, no matter how many people told you no, right? No matter how many times your loved ones have let you down, hurt your feelings, I want you to rejoice and praise him through it all. And yes, it is easier said than done. But honey, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You have to get some of that good news in your spirit. Practice being genuinely happy, you guys. When you see others getting blessed, why? Because we want to praise God for all of his blessings, even if it's not directly connected to us. But when you see others getting blessed, know without a doubt that your time is coming too. Be happy for them. Praise God for them. He is an awesome God. Whether he's blessing me or blessing someone else, I have learned to be happy, because guess what? If he did it for them, I know he can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So be happy. Get some good news in your spirit, right? Surround yourself with those people who know how to pray. Sometimes you need to connect with some prayer words. Maybe you need to join a Bible study, right? Maybe you need to get online and find a church or your own church that does online services or online Bible study. Maybe you need to purchase a book, right? Or download a book if you have Kindle that's going to teach you how to pray, that's written by someone who knows how to pray. If you have not yet watched the movie War Room, ladies and gentlemen, watch the movie War Room. I pray it will bless you. I tell you, I know it will bless you. And it's going to teach you how to pray on a different level to where, whew, my God. Just watch the movie. I'm not even going to say anymore. Watch the movie War Room. If you're having trouble, if you're struggling to pray, if you're struggling not seeing answers to your prayer, watch the movie War Room, all right? Because we have to learn, you guys. We have to learn how to praise God through it all. I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? We have to rejoice because God is on our side. And he cannot fail. I learned a long, long time ago, and I pray that you guys take this lesson and run with it. But one plus God is always the majority. So one plus God is always the majority. So as long as God is on your side, you are going to win. You are going to come out victorious. There is nothing and no one, not a devil in hell, not a person on earth, not a situation, a disease, nothing that can stand against you with God on your side. One plus God is always the majority. So learn how to rejoice through the good times, especially the good times. We should be thanking God. But when those bad times hit, when those storms of life come, when we don't know what to do or what to pray, learn to praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for bringing me out of this storm. Thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for blessing my loved ones. Thank you for healing. Thank you for providing. Learn to praise God. Hallelujah. The highest praise, right? And I get excited right now because, whew, my God, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise God, we have to rest assured he is there in our midst. And like I said before, he is working it out. So three things, let me recap. Those three things that I want you to remember, those three things that you cannot forget when it comes to knowing without a doubt that God has not forgot about you. Number one, just because you don't see him working does not mean he isn't. He is working it out for your good. Number two is to remember the last time that God came through for you. God has done a great thing in your life. He has blessed you. He has saved you. He has put his very life on the line for you. So remember that last time that God came through for you and be confident that he will come through again and again and again. You get it? Praise God. And number three, rejoice and praise him through it all. Get some good news in your spirit, some prayer warriors around you. Surround yourself with those who know how to pray and praise God. And rejoice, because with God on your side, he cannot fail, right? So I just wanted to come here on today's episode as we talk about the topic, God has not forgot about you. Because if you look at the world, let's be honest, if you look at what's going on, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think that God has just washed his hands of all of us, right? And said, forget these people, forget these, this world. But I'm here to encourage you. And as we ask the question, what now, God? What do we do now that we are going through all this mess and this stress and the struggles? And the world seemingly done went crazy. What now, God? Now that COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on the world. What now, God? What now that I've lost my job? That money is low. The bills are piling up high. What now, God? Now that I am feeling all alone, lost family, friends, and forced to make sense of it all on my own. What now, God? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly the answer that Jesus gave when him and the disciples were on that boat in the midst of a raging storm. Now, a lot of you know this story, right? While Jesus slept, the disciples, I'm sure they were racked with fear. The waves were crashing all around them, probably rain, thunder, and lightning crashing all around them. And I'm sure in their hearts, in their human hearts, right? Because we're all human. I know they must have been thinking, this is the end. They didn't have their mother or father to call on. And in that fear and that doubt, not knowing what was going to come, right? What did the disciples do? They woke Jesus up. And they said to him, they said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Imagine, just put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Imagine you being in that boat. You know, he's just preached Jesus. You just witnessed Jesus preaching to the masses. He's speaking in parables. Some of it you may understand, some of it you may not, but you know that you're in the presence of the master. And you guys go out on this boat, and the master, our savior, Christ himself, Jesus Christ, is sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. He's sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. Now, I know a lot of you have been in that same predicament, right? And they asked, they woke Jesus up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, to me, it's like the audacity. Y'all asking Jesus, don't he care? But hey, we're only human and we all have those thoughts. We all have those doubts, right? So Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Let me say that again. Woo, my God, catch that. It's so powerful. He got up from his sleep and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, y'all, and it was completely calm, like the storm had never happened, right? Jesus told those waves what to do and how to do it, and they had no choice to obey, right? He calmed the storm. So I say to you right now that no matter what storm that you're going through, Jesus loves you so much. And if you're asking Jesus, "Don't you care, teacher? Do you care if we drown?" We're drowning out here. It seems like we're drowning. Yes, Jesus cares, and God has not forgotten about you. He still has the power to calm every and any storm that is raging in you or around you. So be encouraged, be blessed, and just take a moment out of your day to thank God. To thank God for all that he's done. To thank God for all that he's doing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. And I also want to challenge you all the listeners who are listening to the What Now Radio, What Now God Radio broadcast right now, just take a moment out of your day. Go somewhere and get some quiet time. Open up your Bible or pull up your Bible app on your phone and just take some time out and read the entire chapter of Mark 4. Okay? I pray that it will bless you as much as it continues to bless me. I just want to say, stay encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. I pray that he shows up and shows out for you on this week. Commit every care, every worry, every fear to prayer in God. Commit your worries to God. Let go and let God. And on that note, thank you so much for joining in. Make sure you tune in every first and third Friday at 7:30 a.m. That's Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast. Tune in to the What Now God Radio Show and make sure to follow our page, What Now God Radio, on Facebook. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. God bless you. God bless you. And a happy Friday to all. See you all next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I am your host, Sonya Nelson of the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. And as always, make yourself comfortable as you sit back and relax and enjoy listening to my special guest today, who's going to give us part two on peace, finding peace in such a time as this. My special guest is Joy McCovery, and she is known as the one who is going to make Jesus' name famous again. Hey, she is a listener, a speaker, a teacher, a writer, and a coach. But most importantly, she is a humble servant of God who has dedicated her life to being the hands, feet, and mouthpiece of Jesus Christ with love and compassion. It is my honor and pleasure to bring her back again for this part two of her message of peace, especially in such a time as this. So without further ado, the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast welcomes Joy McCovery. Take it away, Joy.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am so excited to come back on to do the second part of peace, having peace in a time such as this. And I really enjoy the opportunity to speak like the very first time on part one of peace. And I just want to reiterate what we talked about before I go into actually the next phase of part two. We talked about how to find peace at such a time as this. And one of the things that we've noticed and we've been going through, there's been so much going on since the beginning of 2020, since January 2020, when we came in all excited about what we were going to do in 2020, and 2020 was going to be the double this, and 2020 we were going to see clearly, and we were going to do all of these things. And all of a sudden, by March, we had something that really truly just interrupted everybody's peace. It actually interrupted the world's peace. And that was what happened with COVID and the things that are happening with COVID and the things, and people are losing their lives and people are losing jobs. And we even got to a point where we were being quarantined and staying at the house and being around people all day that we probably haven't been around in years. And our children have not literally been in school since March. Instead of them having a 3-month summer break, they have almost a 5-month summer break. So a lot of things just came and really interrupted our peace. And even for some of us, before all of COVID came, we were walking in 2019, 2018 without peace. So all of a sudden, if you didn't have peace before, you sure enough now are really just looking like, okay, I don't even understand. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And so I just wanted to come on and just encourage everyone that there is peace. There is peace. But it's sometimes not in the things that we want to have peace in, or sometimes not in the ways that we think that we ought to be able to get peace. So the last time we talked about, we just talked about the word peace, and I gave words for each letter that would help us to understand how to move in peace. So I started with the word P, and I gave you pause, and I gave you patience. And one of the things that we need to think about is that even in peace, a lot of times when things come at us, storms, fiery dots, things that come expected or unexpected, the first thing we need to do is pause. We need to pause because it's the enemy's job at that moment to take away our peace, to take away our joy, to take away our sanity. So we need to stop. So right now, even like right now, if you're sitting at home, if you're listening to this and you feel like, I don't know what to do. I'm just, my mind, I can't find balance here. I can't do that. Just take a moment right now and just pause. Just pause. Just take a deep breath and know that the fact that you're still living, the fact that you're still surviving, the fact that you're able to even listen to this broadcast today, that God brought you to this broadcast for you to say, it's okay to pause. It's okay to get quiet. It's okay not to have the answers sometimes. It's okay. And so when we take away all the stresses, then some of our peace starts to come forth by understanding that I don't know what to do in a time like this, and being able to verbally say that I don't know what to do, or I'm lost, or I need help. Being able to verbally say that takes away a lot of the weight off our shoulders, and all of a sudden we're opening the door to get peace. The next one is the word peace, and I gave you two for that. I gave you patience. One of the things that we have to learn is having patience. Right now, this world is such a fast-paced world. We have cell phones. We have computers. We have technology. We have deadlines. We have all of these things that are coming at us every single day. Like literally when we wake up in the morning, our minds can think of 15 things that we already got to do within that day. So with that being said, as you pause, learn to be patient in things that you're trying to accomplish. Learn to be patient in the things that, that we need to be able to be patient in, because when you're patient, you'll be able to move in such a different way, a different atmosphere. You'll start to see things and God can clearly start speaking and you can clearly start hearing because you're not trying to rush everything so much. The word E for evaluation, we were like E and peace. Evaluate, take time to look and say, okay, what is truly going on? And evaluate, what can I put my hands to right now and what I can't put my hands to right now? That would also start to bring an element of peace. We talked about acknowledging and accepting. And one of the things about acknowledging and accepting, we need to acknowledge the fact that things has changed. Things are not the same. Things may, and they may not never go back to being the same. So instead of having this atmosphere of this mindset or environment of, I can't wait till things get back better. We might not get back there. We might not get back to the place where we thought that was better. So we need to start acknowledging and accepting things has started to change. And sometimes that will also get us back in peace. The next one is the word, is the letter C for C, and we said Christ, and we also said centered. So for C, for Christ and centered, we need to realize that Christ is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. And the only thing also, he has to be the center. And so when I get ready to do part two, I'm going to come back and reiterate a scripture that I got a chance to be able to just, I want to expound on a little bit. And the last word letter is the letter E for edifying and encouraging. We need to make sure that in order to be able to even find peace or stay in peace or get peace, we need to start encouraging ourselves. Encouraging is not going to be easy, but we already know that we got Christ, that we can make it. That's the things we have to say to ourselves in the morning. Even when we get up in the morning and we pray, sometimes we also need to decree and declare things over our life. We need to speak affirmations over ourselves that I can do it, that I can do all things in Christ, that today is going to be a good day. Today I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my joy or to steal my peace. We have to open our mouths and decree it so that God can be, the Holy Spirit can use it and manifest it forward. So sometimes it's all, a lot of times it's about what we do and how we look at things for our peace. But we're going to go into part two. And part two, I want to be able to talk about pause a little bit. So as we go forth and learn about how to have peace in such a time as this, I want to make sure that we understood just the letters that we were talking about. And the very first one, the P, the pause, I really, really, truly want to just make sure that we sit right there for a minute. If we sit there for a minute about the word pausing. And you all, I'm actually in the midst of, you know, creating a book about pause. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that everybody understands and knows is that pausing is so vital. It's like it's very vital in our lives because a lot of times we do not take the opportunity to stop. And a lot of times we do not take the opportunity to be able to say, wow, this has hurt me, or wow, things are changing. We don't like to verbalize things, so we always are stuffing stuff in. And then we want to have peace. It's impossible to have peace when you're so stuffed that God can't even get in, that the Holy Spirit can't speak to you because you're so full that you don't want to hear anything, or you're trying to isolate yourself, or you're trying to find peace and stuff like, I just need to go to the park, which is a good thing. But then when you're going to the park, are you going to be able to be with God and listen, or are you just trying to go, let's get away? A lot of times we start saying, oh, I just need to go shopping, or oh, I just need to do this and I need to do that. And a lot of times we use those as crutches, when in actuality, we really just need to go back within ourselves and go back to pausing and being able to say, okay, let me literally look at my life. Let me focus on my life. Let me write down some things that I feel that might be hindering me from my peace. Because a lot of times our peace is being hindered from the things that we have inside of us and the things that we have around us. So it's inner and external. So that's the things that we have to understand. Peace is not no magic pill. Amen. Jesus is not no magic pill. We have to use him every day. Not only when we want him or when we want to pull him out of our pocket. It's something that we have to do daily. It's something that we have to engage in daily. So as I move into my part two, what are you allowing to steal your peace? Because that's the thing right now. We talked about what peace is a little bit. We gave you some acronyms for what peace, for each letter. And we also gave you the understanding that Jesus is the peace. He is peace. There's nothing in this world that can bring us peace but him. So let me start off that by reading this scripture to you. I want to read to you John, the 16th chapter. And I want to read the 33rd verse. So that's St. John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse. It says, these things I have spoken to you. The world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. So if you're trying to find peace in anything in this world, if you're trying to find it through your spouse, if you're trying to find it through your children, if you're trying to find it through your job, if you think making more money is going to bring you peace or getting this promotion is going to bring you peace, then already you're already walking in the wrong direction. Because everything in this world is not going to bring you peace. It's going to bring you responsibility. And that's the thing that we don't realize. Because the more stuff that we get, the more stuff we have to be responsible of. The more stuff we acquire, the more we're going to use our energy and use our joy and our peace and our happiness to keep it or to maintain it. And so therefore, a lot of times things do not bring us peace. They may bring us joy every now and then and a little happiness, but peace only comes through Jesus. It says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, Jesus is saying this in red. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And that's the mindset we ought to realize. In this world, there are going to be troubles. We're not going to have a good day every day. Matter of fact, we might not have a good day every minute or every hour. But the thing is, he says, be of good cheer. That means he says, be of good cheer. He says, because I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you got me, then I can give you the ability to overcome and gain this peace. But if you're trying to get peace based on yourself, or trying to get peace based on what other people say peace is, or if you do this, and girl, you do this, or man, you do this, or young person, you do this, a lot of times that's not going to bring you peace because you're trying to walk somebody else's journey. You're trying to walk somebody else's instructions. So the thing is, yes, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to the one who says, I've already overcome everything that you're getting ready to go through. And that's why I sent the Holy Spirit to you, so the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you and talk to you and give you instructions so you can find your way back to me where there's peace. Perfect example. If you're having issues with your job, a lot of times we don't realize that our jobs are something that gives us a lot of stresses too, because a lot of times we're working so we can make a paycheck so we can take care of stuff. And so it's an obligation to some people and not just, oh, I'm doing this because I love it, or I'm doing this because I'm called to it. So in those cases, when we get to those particular jobs, because our heart says, I want to do a good job, I need to do a good job, because this happens to directly touch other things like bills and my family and my houses, then that can already put a stressor on us that we don't even realize. But if we add Jesus to the mix and say, okay, Lord, you have given me this job. So then as I go into this job, what is it that I need to do? Am I here to make a difference? Am I here to do whatever you have called me to do? Not saying that he will give you the ability to do all the other tasks that comes along with that job too. But just know you're at that particular place for a reason. You're right there for a particular reason, to make Jesus' name famous. There is somebody you're going to meet. there's something that's going to happen within that time that you're getting to get ready to be able to express to them your testimony, or to get to meet somebody that's new. So a lot of times I tell people that we really don't do jobs. We're actually on assignment. And when that assignment is over, then God will sometimes move us. Now, what about those people that have been at a job for 30 years? Your assignment might have been to be at that job 30 years. You might have a flow that God can use from year to year to year to year. But if we look at it as, Lord, I'm going there for you. I'm going there to be able to give somebody you. I'm going there, Lord, even if it's, doctor offices, teachers, counselors, all of us, we're going to be the hands and feet of God. So if we look at what God wants us to do, then we'll find the peace in it. Because guess what? The world part of it, the natural part of it, is not going to always be pleasant. It's not. You're going to always have deadlines. You're going to always have somebody saying you need to do something better. You're going to always have somebody saying that wasn't good enough. You're going to always have somebody say, well, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you about the meeting, and you show up 30 minutes late and everybody looking at you. There's always going to be some kind of ism in the natural. But if you know that you're going to be able to do whatever God calls you to do, then that's where you'll find your area of peace. That's how we find our peace. It's finding him. I want to say also, and I'm still in John, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you. That's the thing we need to make sure we pay attention. Jesus said, I give you peace. So if he's giving it to you, your peace is in your hand. So the question again is, what are you allowing to steal your peace? Who are you allowing to steal your peace? Because he says, when I left, if you got me, if you have Jesus, he said, I've given you peace. I've left you peace. I've left you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be able to tell you and guide you on how to do things, and also give you the power to be able to do it. So the thing is, are we doing what the Word say do? Are we doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do? Or are we still always doing what we want to do? Because if we're doing what we want to do, there's no peace in that. But if we're doing what God tells us to do, even when it's hard, even when the storms come up, it's going to be peaceful, because we're going to know that we're doing it to please him. Anything we're trying to do to please ourselves, that's when we lose peace, because the majority of the time it doesn't happen. So as we go forth in part two, as we go forth and say how to find peace in such a time as this, my whole thing to you is through Jesus. Getting in his word, understanding what the word say, communing with God through prayer, meditating, asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Holy Spirit, what is it, or who am I allowing to steal my peace? And sometimes we have to start clipping things. We have to start walking away and making those hard decisions so we can get back in our place of peace. And knowing that if we're pleasing God at the end of the day, if we're pleasing Jesus at the end of the day, and if we're doing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do at the end of the day, then we will find the peace that we so desire.
Well, wow. What a way to end this on peace. Our peace is in Jesus, just like you said. And it's you hit on so many things for me, because I am in that place of different things right now of seeking my own peace. I'm kind of speechless, honestly, on what to say. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to know, to internalize on your own, to know, you know, you got to work on some stuff. And, and bring Jesus into the mix of everything.
Yeah.
So in this season, to all our listeners, in this season, when peace may not be easily found, whether you're a believer or not, there is still hope. Hold on. Pull yourself up. Believe, and I'm all for what you were saying about sometimes we have to speak those things over ourselves. And that used to be a pattern of mine. It's so easy how you can get out of habit of doing the right things that kept you going, that now you have to really just return back to the basics.
Yeah.
Just returning back to the basics. So thank you again for bringing part two on peace in such a time as this, because we really do need it. I thank you for being a vessel that God uses to reaffirm his people through his word. And I'm looking forward to many more conversations with you. And I'm looking forward to the book or books that shall be published in your name. So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. This was a wonderful message from Joy McCovery. Again, she's the one who's going to make Jesus's name famous again. So thank you for tuning in, everyone, on this episode of Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. And until next time, loves, keep shining. Keep shining. And God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.